Now we're at part three, which is the second reading. Now, as you know, the first reading prepares for the gospel. The second reading tends to go its own way. Today, it's Paul's discourse on how the church is the body of Christ. It goes with the rest of the text, especially the way the verses that are picked. These are 1 Corinthians 12 to 30, which is about how do you live in the body? How do you live in the body? Well, you care for one another. And so it starts then, you see, as a body is one, it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body. So also the Christ. So what is the Christ there? Doesn't mean that Jesus has two hands and two feet. We know that. This is the church being called the Christ. And there are other places where the church is called the Christ because we share in the anointing of the very living Son of God, which is poured out on us at Pentecost. So earlier in this very letter to the Corinthians, when he's talking and he says there, I'm for Peter, I'm for Cephas, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Paul. He says, what? Is Christ divided? What does he mean? The church. Well, now we have to say, yes, Paul, we are divided. And it's a shame. And it's an embarrassment. And if we were one right now and loved each other, all the Christians in the world, this world would have hope. Well, that's our responsibility. So, Paul is now going to take this example of the human body, because we are the soma tou Christou, you see. The Lord must have revealed this to him, that the union between himself and the believers that comes about through baptism and the indwelling Holy Spirit is a physical union. We are physically joined to Christ. And he comes up and he starts here for the first time to actually spell it out. But he says the same thing in Ephesians and Colossians. We are the body of Christ. We are physically joined to him and we make one body. And dividing this body is blasphemy. And so look, we got 7,000 sects or whatever we got, you know, east and west, both with a sacramental system and go back and to the founding of the church. Well, we're getting better, though. We're starting to dialogue with the Eastern churches in a new way, because it should weigh on our conscience that we are the body of Christ and we're all cut up in little pieces. So, as the body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. You see how powerful that is? We are Christ. And so, for in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. That's where it comes from, baptism. We're baptized into one body, into one church. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free people, you see, we were all given to drink of one Spirit. That's probably the best trade. The text is, the word could mean many things, but drink is a good one. Okay. Okay. But the body is not a single part. It's many parts. And now he's going to take the example. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, does not for this reason belong any less to the body. In other words, you know, I'm a bishop, and or I'm a whatever. I'm a plumber, so I don't have any part in the body. That's for the priests and the bishops. Oh, no. You know, the church lives by prophecy. And prophecy, real prophecy, comes from sanctity. Who are the people who, in our time, have held the church together? Of course, the popes have been great gifts from us, to us. starting in a particular way with John the 23rd, but all the way back before Pius the 12th. And with the means of communication in the world today, you see, we're one. If we're really one, you see. But the body is not a single part. Not everybody is pope. Not everybody is bishop. But you look, who are the movers and shakers in the church today? Yes, of course, John Paul II and Benedict XVI and Bishop so-and-so and Bishop so-and-so. But what about Mother Teresa? She wasn't clergy, but she's a very important part of the body. Her presence makes the body holy. Every part is important, you see? And so that's what's being said here, you see? We're all baptized into one body. There's only one body. Why does he use this word body like that? Because there is a physicality to our union. It's founded on the Eucharist and animated by the Holy Spirit. So we're one, and we care about the whole church. And we weep when we make a mess of it, as we're doing right now. You see? But we're getting better because of the exterior pressure. Those who don't want to be Catholic anymore are just kind of drifting away. And it's become apparent. But as Paul says elsewhere, these things have to happen. So you can tell the players without a program. Just pray that we still become players, and that we don't leave. Okay. If a foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, does not for this reason belong any less to the body, does it? Of course not. You see, or if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. So because I'm just a construction worker and not a pope, I don't belong to the body. Oh, yeah? There are probably more holy construction workers than there are holy clerics. And they hold the body together. How many housewives at home, taking care of the children, praying to the Lord, you know, helping their husbands, and caring for the whole household, are holding the whole body together? How many will be so surprised to see who the big shots are when we get to heaven? How many hidden souls, you know? They weren't ordained, they weren't anything special, but they're holy. They're holy, you see. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? In other words, we're a body and diversified to build ourselves up, which is a beautiful phrase in Ephesians, where it's talking about the same thing in Ephesians. The body builds itself up in love. That's the phrase in Ephesians. Why? Because it's moved by the Holy Spirit. And so, Juan Balthasar somewhere has these beautiful lines about that. He said, you know, I'm not doing too well, but I'm joined, you know, at the hip with St. Pio. You know, I belong to the same group. I'm not doing too well, but I'm joined to him and he's doing fine. I'm going to stick with him. And that's when we begin to get motivated. I want to give myself to the Lord so powerfully that I build the church. And those who haven't heard the good news or don't get it straight or are depressed or whatever, they'll be brought along. Wasn't this what Therese did? Remember? She's trying to find where she belongs in the body. She just read this text. And she's trying to find out where she belongs. And she finally discovers, she says, I got it. I'm the heart. Because I want to be this. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a servant. I want to be a zouave on the field. I want to be... I know who I am now. I'm the heart of the church. My job is to love, 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 never counting the cost. and keep the body alive, really alive. See? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And so, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or again the head to the feet, I don't need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety. He's trying to point out, this man here, he's poor, he can't read or write, he's doing his best to support his family. He's probably an eye in the body. He's guiding it by his holiness. And I'm probably a foot. You see? And that's why that beautiful text in Ephesians, which they could have used here instead of this one. I don't have time, but it would be great if I do at the end to read that text where the body, and it's in only in Colossians and Ephesians that it gets explicit that Christ is the head. Okay. Now you are Christ's body. See, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts show its joy. Wouldn't that be beautiful if we really did that? Instead of being worried about ourselves all the time. Some people, God has designated the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and variety of tongues. Talking about all the gifts. If you read and count up in Paul, he talks about 40 different gifts, not just the list he gives here in Corinthians. Huh? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work mighty deeds? No. But if they're being moved by the Holy Spirit and yielding to him out of love, they are building the body in an essential way, wherever they are. Do all have gifts of healing? We argue about why it's plural. Does that mean that the person gets healing is talking about that gift, or the gift of the person who can heal? I think it's the first. Why is it plural? Maybe because people have different kinds of gifts of healing. Certainly different degrees. That's quite noticeable. Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. But strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. And now he's going to talk about love. If I could sing and like with the tongues of angels and have prophecy and tell the future, if I had power in faith to move mountains, but I don't have agape, I am zip. I am useless to the body. If we don't practice these gifts in love, they're not going to do anybody any good. That's important. Whatever gift you've got, go to the Lord and say, Lord, make me holy so that it will profit the body. My parish, my community, my diocese, the whole church. Let it be a gift that builds the whole body. That only happens through love. That's why it's so important. Okay? That's Paul on the body.